Last winter, my family and I moved on to Gurnell Grove Estate as part of a team of sharing the love of Jesus. We set up a missional community there with the aim of setting up an expression of church on that estate where local people can engage and get to know him. It's been great so far. We're loving it. There's lots of things going on now. We've established a once-a-month pop-up event where we gather the community together, usually around food. Fairly recently, it was in January, I became the chair of the Residents Association, which is a funny and kind of divine story, really, which I don't have time for. Recently, we've started services on the estate in our community center, which is really exciting. We've just done two, and we do it every other week. Today's my week off, but that's really exciting. There's a lot going on, and it's a wild adventure. There's lots of good things, there's challenges, but we really are excited about what God is doing in and through us on the Grove. Now, last week on the Grove, we had a missions week where we put a lot of energy and effort and time into our week, which we called Better Together Community Week. The aim of the week was to spend time cleaning up and clearing up some of the mess and muck around the estate, but also to have fun. And we hired this Eden bus, a souped-up kind of youth bus on wheels to have fun in the community. And we really wanted to show kind of the love of Jesus in action in that week. And the week was a flying success. We had great fun. The community was really impacted by it. A really, really great week. And all ages of the estate came out. We had hundreds of people who engaged in what we did throughout the week, and it was fantastic. But little did the community know that a couple of weeks before the event was going to happen, I got a phone call from the Eden bus guys and kind of very apologetically said, look, we're really sorry, it's the first time we've driven to London, and we didn't realize there's the London emission zone fee that we're going to have to pay to get to your estate. Each day it's going to be an extra £200 charge on top of the kind of current fee. So it was like an extra £1,000. It was there Monday to Friday. We hadn't planned or budgeted for that extra cost. I was feeling really, really worried. You know, what we're going to do? We've advertised, we've planned for this bus. what should we do? So I ring up the trustees. Steve is a trustee. Jane is a trustee. And a few others, and said, look, guys, what should we do? Not really sure what to do. What do you guys think? And the trustees showed amazing faith, really. They said, look, you've planned for this week, partly around this bus. Let's just go for it. Let's bite the bullet. Maybe let's not do it for the whole week, but we could do 3 or 4 days, and let's just go for it. So I made that decision, kind of put the phone down, and then a few minutes later, I get an email from the council, and the council say, oh, we've heard that you're doing some sort of fun community week on the Grove, and we've put aside £2,000 for you. Would you like the money? And I was like, yeah, I think we would quite like the money. That would be great. Where do I sign? But really, I think God's timing is always interesting. It is God's timing. And I really do think that the faith showed by the trustees, I guess, was rewarded. I'm not sure that's the right word, but I definitely think it was really good to see that faith in action. Great week. I wonder what missions you are on at the moment, trying to achieve some sort of goal. Well, sometimes we get really passionate about trying to fulfill something. We go to quite extreme lengths. Maybe you're training or have trained before for a marathon. Maybe you've had to lose weight for something specific. Maybe you've been on a mission to share your faith with someone, or someone you're praying for that God would heal them. I know you guys have your community fete coming up, where the whole church is going to get together for that kind of mission, and that's going to be a great success, I'm sure. Well, most of us are probably here because we're on a mission to continually learn what it means to follow Jesus. And the passage that we heard this morning follows four guys who are on a mission to bring their friend to see Jesus, because they think that Jimmy, we're going to call him Jimmy this morning, that's not his name in the passage, FYI, but Jimmy is paralyzed, and they think if they can get Jimmy to see Jesus, there's a chance he's going to get healed. And it seems like in this story, there's nothing that's going to stop them to try and achieve this goal. I want you just to picture the scene. The Gospel of Mark is a very, very quick gospel, and Mark, the writer, doesn't go into a lot of detail, but I just want to open up this story just a little bit. And I want to picture what's going on here. So I want you to imagine there's four guys in the pub having a drink, maybe a glass of water, orange juice, and they hear that Jesus is coming to town. This is the guy they've heard about. He's doing miracles and he's healing people. And they think, whoa, Jimmy, he's paralyzed. Would it not be amazing if we could get him to Jesus? What could happen? What could happen to Jimmy if we could just get him to meet and encounter Jesus? And so they get this plan. You get the rope, you get the water, you get the mat, and I'll get Jimmy, and we'll meet back. And so they meet back, and poor Jimmy now is on the mat, and they start carrying him. Who here is around 5'9"? Stick your hand up. Why don't you stand up if you're 5'9"? Great. I don't know how tall, small, big Jimmy was, but let's just say he was about 5'9". You can sit down now, guys. Thanks very much. These guys had to pick up and carry Jimmy, who was around 5'9", let's just say. Now, the passage doesn't say how far they had to carry Jimmy, and of course, scholars, like they do, argue and debate how far they had to go. Some say it was miles and miles. Some say it was a few kind of blocks down the road. We don't know. But what we do know is they did have to carry Jimmy. And carrying someone, I imagine, would have been hard work. And imagine the scene. They've just been carrying him however long. Let's say, argument's sake, a mile. 20-minute walk normally, maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes of Jimmy. And they're tired. They're thirsty, they're sweating, they're covered in dust because they don't have roads and pavement like we do today. And they get to the house only to find out it's completely packed. There's no room in. There's so many people who got there before these guys, probably because they didn't have to carry someone, to see Jesus. And there's no room in. There's no room in to get into the house. Now, I wonder what's going through their mind. I wonder if some of them were thinking, why don't we just sack this off? There's no way we can get in. Let's take Jimmy back and we'll try and catch Jesus another day. We'll get up really early next time. Or maybe they were thinking, well, how about we just stand outside, wait till the meeting's done, and we'll catch Jesus on the way out, and then we can bring Jimmy to Jesus. But for whatever reason, they don't do that. They show incredible faith. They're determined. They're eager. They think, they have to take Jimmy to see Jesus, and they've got to do it now. So one of them says, right, I've got an idea. Why don't we lift Jimmy up onto the roof, get our knives or saws or whatever they used, and we're going to cut a hole and lower him down, and then he has to see Jesus. There's no stopping. So they do it. They grab him. They pick him up. Don't know how awkward or hard that was. And then here we are in this scene where there's loads of dust, there's roof, bits of roof falling down, there's light piercing through the room, and Jimmy comes down and meets Jesus. What a kerfuffle, what a scene I'm sure was caused. And we know the story says that Jimmy was healed. He was able to walk after he met Jesus. And there's just a few points I want to draw out of this story about what happens to people when they meet Jesus. The first point I want to draw out is that meeting Jesus is life-changing. You see, Jimmy went in paralyzed, went in that house paralyzed, and left the house healed. He was able to walk. Jesus brought restoration to Jimmy's life. You see, when you meet Jesus, your life will change. If you open up your heart and ask him to come in, he will change. you won't be the same again. And we see story after story in the Gospels where people encounter Jesus and their lives have been changed. Sometimes our lives change instantly and dramatically, but for a lot of the time when we meet Jesus, we change over time. And I'm sure there were still things for Jimmy, even though in that moment his legs were healed. He still was going on being changed and being restored. Because we know, don't we, that following Jesus, being a disciple, is an ongoing thing. Maybe Jesus has helped you overcome something in your life. Maybe a fear. Maybe he set you free from something. Maybe he's given you peace over a situation. Maybe he's healed a part of your broken heart or even something physical. But whatever the change, when we encounter Jesus, we are changed and our lives are changed. One of the amazing things that happened last week came out right at the end of the week. And I'm going to tell you about Bob. Bob isn't his real name. But Bob is a Muslim from Syria. And he's quite an interesting bloke. If you get a chance to chat with him, I say chat with him, he'll chat to you. He's very passionate about Syria and he campaigns to free Syria. And anyway, at the end of the week, we had an American team with us. You saw the picture of us at the end, which was great. And the American girls were saying goodbye to a lot of the young kids that they'd become friends with during the week. And a lot of the young kids really started to cry. Things were getting very emotional. Then the Americans started to cry. And Bob was seeing this, and throughout the week, he kind of got more and more invested in what we were doing. And he went up to one of the American girls and said, "Can I just ask, why are you crying?" And Morgan, her name, you know, in a real American way, is like, "My heart's just breaking for the young kids." And, you know, being very emotional, as sometimes American can be, which was great. And so he says, "Look, Morgan, I cannot believe the impact that you guys have had on this estate in the short time you've been here. I can't believe how much you care, how much you care for my kids and the other kids. I spent my life absolutely hating America. But this week has completely challenged my worldview, and I have to change what I think about America and Americans because of the love that has been shown." Now, Bob still doesn't maybe know exactly that that was the love of Jesus. He knew we were a bunch of Christians. But he had an encounter there through the actions and the words of that team. And his life has been changed. His worldview has been changed. And an amazing, powerful story. The second thing I want to pick up is that when you meet Jesus, Jesus will take you to the heart of the matter. And what I mean by it is this. You see, the paralyzed man and the four lads took Jimmy because they wanted him to get physically healed. But you see, Jesus wanted to go deeper, look deeper than the man's physical needs. He wanted to deal with the spiritual ones. And so when Jesus heals Jimmy, he says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Because of course, physical healing is important. But what good is a healthy body if we have a broken heart? Jimmy got more than he was hoping for. Not only was he healed physically, but his sins were also forgiven, allowing him to be clean in front of God. And so when we meet Jesus, there are many things we may want from him, but what he desperately wants from each and every one of us is to be in that relationship that allows us to be with him, to be with him eternally. And he does that, we know, don't we, that he dies on the cross for all of mankind so that all can have that opportunity. And then finally, meeting Jesus is costly. It cost the four lads quite a lot to carry Jimmy over to Jesus. It cost them their time, their energy, effort, their creative thinking of how on earth they were going to get Jimmy to see Jesus. And it probably cost them money as well. They had to pay for the repairs of the roof of the house that they broke into. And we know, don't we, that Jesus himself says there's a cost in following him. Take up your cross and follow me, he says. Of course, that's a metaphor, isn't it, for us kind of dying to what our ways are and choosing to follow his ways. When we decide to put our trust in Jesus, when we meet Jesus, there's going to be a cost on whether we choose to follow him. It's going to cost our time, like those lads. It's probably going to cost our money. It's going to cost our energy. But it's because he changes our life and we're not the same once we've met him. In Matthew 28, we have the Great Commission, the kind of mission statement, if you like, for the disciples before Jesus goes up to be with his Father in heaven. And in that famous verse in Matthew 28:19, he says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." I wonder what people there are in our life that we're leading to Christ. Who are the people that we're praying for that they would meet and have an encounter with the one who brings restoration, the one who brings life, who brings freedom? What friends are we really willing to carry over a mile on a stretcher on a dusty road and climb onto a roof and cut open just so we can show them who Jesus is, take them to see Jesus? This morning, I want us to be inspired and maybe even challenged by the faith of those four young men who did whatever they could to take Jimmy to see Jesus. May we learn from their faith and remember that it's the most amazing thing that we can do to bring someone to see and encounter him.